from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic. I'm thrilled to be with you again this morning. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's modern and data-driven, but also insightful and easily digestible. To subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can download the brand new podcast app Himalaya, or you can find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever it is you listen to shows. Also, you can get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. So coming up on the first segment, we're going to discuss the Giants 5-3 loss to the Dodgers last night. We're going to look at the road trip as a whole now that it's concluded and some team numbers, which we started to do yesterday. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to discuss platoons. What are they? Why are the Dodgers doing them to great success? And why is it essential in 2019 baseball that we don't just ignore this fundamental part of the way the game is heading? You may not like them, but they are here to stay, and we have to talk about them. But first, the game itself. Derek Holland gave up a couple of runs in the first inning. First batter of the game, Kike Hernandez. Speaking of platoon players, my goodness, Kike Hernandez just crushes left-handed pitching. That's just what he does. And sure enough, first batter of the game against the lefty Holland, he hits a home run, and they end up getting two runs in the first. The Giants answer with three in the fourth. Steven Duggar hits his first home run of the year, and Brandon Belt answers with a two-run shot later in the inning to give the Giants a 3-2 lead that would hold until the seventh inning when Reyes Maranta gives up a couple of runs on a two-out, two-run double by David Fries. And in the eighth inning, Tony Watson gives up another run. So for the first time all year, the bullpen coughs up a lead, and they haven't had many leads, so it's not like we're talking about a large sample of data there. But the bullpen has been very strong. We all saw how good Reyes Maranta looked in his first appearance, but tonight it was not to be. He gives up a couple of runs, and that was the ballgame. The story, I would say, was more, again, that you can't expect to win a game when you only score three runs. I mean, sometimes, yes, it'll happen, but at the end of the day, this entire trip, the Giants just were not able to muster much offense. So for the season, they're getting outscored by seven runs, and that's something we're going to look at a lot on the show, is run differential, because it actually can be a better indicator of your talent than your record. But the Giants, with their negative seven run differential, have an expected record of exactly what their real record is. So in other words, the way they've performed is indicative of their record. So looking ahead to some offensive numbers for the San Francisco Giants, kind of recapping the road trip, and the road trip happens to be the duration of the season. So their season numbers as well as numbers from the road trip. One of the main things that stands out, first of all, there's this all-encompassing offensive metric called weighted runs created plus, and it's really actually quite simple. It just takes home ballpark, it takes every ballpark the team is playing in into account, and it adjusts based on the park factors. So like if you're a Giants player, you're going to get some extra points because of the fact that you are playing in AT&T. So league average is set to 100, the league average offensive performer, but you can also look at team stats, and anything above or below 100 is that percent above or below average for the league. So for the Giants on the season, they have a 60 weighted runs created plus, and this is ignoring pitchers, which I think is good practice because the pitchers, you know, they're not in there every day, and so they're kind of skewing the data. We're more like wanting to look at what are the offensive players doing. And again, they've been 40% below average already. And so, as I said yesterday, that is just not something that will last. Even the worst teams in baseball end up only like 10 or 15% below average offensively. So they're not going to maintain this level of being below average. But believe it or not, that 60 weighted runs created plus is actually not last in the National League. There are two teams, the Reds and the Rockies, who have been 60 or 70% worse than average offensively already. So it could be worse offensively, believe me. Another thing to point out, and this is probably the one of the more relevant things, because walk rate is something that tends to stabilize faster than something like weighted runs created plus. But the Giants are dead last in the National League in walk rate. And so that is a concern, because I don't see, except besides Brandon Belt and maybe Buster Posey a little bit, they don't have a lot of guys who draw walks, and they did not do well in this department last year. This is something they were okay in previous years prior to 2017 and 18. They at least walked average or better, but lately they've been in the very bottom. And I think it has something to do with their players kind of declining and teams not being afraid to challenge a Buster Posey as much as they used to be. So you don't really want to walk him. You kind of, at this point, want to make him put the ball in play, because he's, you know, for Posey, and I know a lot of it had to do with the hip surgery, but these days he's more of a threat to hit a single versus to hit some kind of extra base hit, or, you know, let alone a home run. So another thing to point out is that the Giants only have a 255 batting average on balls in play. And this is a stat that people like to make fun of because of its funny name. And it is called BABIP. But what it means is, like, when you're putting the ball in play, and that means not counting home runs and, of course, not counting strikeouts or walks or anything like that, when you're actually just putting the ball in the field of play, what percent of the time is it going for a hit? And this is the BABIP is a great stat to determine kind of luck. It's not always luck that determines it, but when it's down at 255 and you just know for a fact that it's going to be up around 300 at the end of the year, because it always is for a team collectively, the fact that it's at 255, they're going to get about 5% more of their hits are going to, when they put it in play, it's going to be a hit moving forward. That's just basically a fact. So moving on to the pitching side, the Giants actually have the best earned run average in the National League. Although, if you follow this show, you know that we don't necessarily think that earned run average is the best way to evaluate a pitcher. Maybe in a really large sample, but not in just a few games, certainly, and definitely not in like a start or two. But so there are better ways to do it, especially if you look at strikeouts, home runs, and walks. That can actually help you better understand the talent and performance of your pitchers, and something called fielding independent pitching. The idea is that when a batter puts the ball in play, all kinds of weird things can happen, like a bloop hit can fall in, a missile can get caught, a fielder can make an error, a fielder can kind of misjudge a play and let it fall, even if it's not an error. So there's all kinds of stuff that a pitcher it doesn't really have control over. So that's why it's called fielding independent pitching. And so in this category, the Giants overall have a 3.50 fielding independent pitching compared to their 2.64 ERA. So that suggests that the earned run average is a little bit fortunate compared to some of the numbers that are actually better at indicating performance. And there's another number called expected fielding independent pitching, and that actually just normalizes home run rates, because home run rates take a long time to stabilize. So to just use actual home run rate can be a little misleading potentially. And a great example of this is the fact that the Giants bullpen has not allowed a home run all season. And so if you're using just walk, strikeouts, and home runs to evaluate their performance, it's going to be skewed by the fact that they haven't allowed a home run, which you don't expect, obviously, to continue. And the Giants, when you use this metric, overall have a 3.76 earned run average. So the peripheral numbers aren't indicating that their pitching has been quite as strong as the earned run average that's first in the National League would suggest. But looking closer at that, it's really the starting pitching that's holding them back in those categories. The starters are actually second in the National League in earned run average at 2.68, but those peripheral predictive numbers are 4.36 and 4.01. So they actually probably deserve something more like a ERA a little over a 4, and that's if they had these same types of performances in the next week, that's what we would expect instead of the earned run average. It's more predictive to look at these other numbers. But the bullpen, on the other hand, even with the blown game last night, continues to have really strong numbers across the board. The earned run average is, I think, first at 2.57, but the fielding independent pitching is 1.98. But like I said, that's heavily skewed by the fact that they have not allowed a home run. So using the same strikeout rates and the same walk rates, but normalizing the home run rate to league average, their expected fielding independent pitching is 3.33, which is second in the National League. So that's going to show you that even if they were allowing a normal amount of home runs, you still would expect really good performance based on the way these guys are pitching. Remember, to get Locked On Giants Baseball, you can subscribe on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. You can also find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, and you can get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. So coming up in the next segment, we are going to talk about platoons. What are they? Why do teams that are really good use them? And why are they important? So that's all coming up next. But first, we talk about baseball performance all the time on this show. But what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB. And try it, it's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, as promised, we're going to talk about platoons. It came to my attention, somebody asked a question yesterday asking what a platoon was. So I became aware of the fact that I keep talking about them, but somebody, at least one person, didn't understand what they even were. So first of all, a platoon is essentially, if you're a left-handed batter, you might do much better against right-handed pitching versus left-handed pitching. And so a platoon is when you only use that guy or mostly use that guy against his strong side, and then you have somebody else who's there to bat against the lefties, and that batter is preferably someone who does well against lefties. So the combination of those two players equals one really strong performer, whereas if you only let the one guy play, his overall performance would be dragged down significantly because you're exposing him to something that he's actually not very good at. So the prime example of platooning is the Los Angeles Dodgers. We just saw it in full force. They literally have like a completely different roster for when they're facing a left-handed starter versus when they're facing a right-handed starter. There are a few players who manage to stick around for both, but there are also a few players who just don't start against one side of pitching. And the funny thing about this is a lot of fans and even players, and I get it more for the players than the fans, don't like this. And they think it's annoying and they're like thinking it's disrespectful for their players. But it takes one simple look at the numbers to totally understand why you would do this. And so specifically looking at the Dodgers as an example, someone like Jock Peterson, you may have noticed, did not start a game in this series. It's not just that he was hurt or something like that. He wasn't hurt. The reason is that for his career, Jock Peterson is 40% below average offensively against left-handed pitching. His performance against lefties is 40% worse than all of the National League's average performance in general. And so what does that look like? It looks like a 181 batting average, a 265 on base percentage, and a 316 slugging percentage, but 32% above average against righties. So a 241 average, which you really should ignore because batting average is not a very important stat, but a 358 on base percentage and a 494 slugging percentage. So a very, very dangerous hitter against right-handed pitching. Kike Hernandez is someone who comes to mind as well. We might think Kike Hernandez is the best player on planet Earth, but the fact is we only see him play against left-handed pitching. And the fact that he destroys Madison Bumgarner, the fact that he hit a home run off of Derek Holland, it has everything to do with the fact that those pitchers are left-handed. Kike Hernandez against left-handed pitching has been 32% above average offensively, hitting .272, .359 on base, .501 slugging. Against right-handed pitchers, he's been 15% below average offensively, .222 average, .291 on base, .384 slugging. So there's a reason these are players that the Dodgers have on their team. They think that this is the best way to fill out a lineup, and I would, you know, have a hard time disagreeing with them based on the fact that they're able to win 90 plus games 6 years in a row, always have the strongest offensive numbers in the National League or close to the top. And they've set a record for home runs in the first week of a season right now. They've hit, I think, 18 home runs to the Giants 2 or 3, maybe 3 or 4. But fans who just like don't like platoons aren't paying attention. I'm sorry. I mean, because your opponents are going to be doing this. And so if you're not doing it, you're shooting yourself in the foot every single night, and you're going to be at a disadvantage every single night against a team like the Dodgers who is doing this. So if you're Kike Hernandez and you're 35% above average against left-handed pitching and 15% below average against right-handed pitching, most of the players in all of baseball, most of the pitchers are right-handed. So if they exposed him to righties all the time, his overall numbers would be much worse, and you could say goodbye to those, you know, the fact that overall for a season, he's usually well above average. He would become more like an average offensive player because of all that exposure to right-handed pitching. David Freese is another guy, and that's exactly why he's on the Dodgers. He crushes lefties. He's okay against righties. So on the Giants, they do have a couple of guys who have pretty notable platoon splits. For example, Joe Panik. And this is another point about batting average. I've seen it written a lot, mostly from like fans on Twitter, which you know how I feel about that. That, you know, when you're looking at platoon splits, people look at batting average, and that is such a huge mistake because you can have like a 200 batting average, but if you hit nothing but homers with your hits, you're like a really dangerous hitter from that side of the plate. And someone like Joey Gallo comes to mind. He overall bats like 200, but he's actually quite a good hitter because of the damage he does with his hits and the fact that he draws a lot of walks. So somebody might want to look at Joe Panik and say, against lefties, he's hitting .268. That's not bad. But the fact is his power numbers against lefties are dreadful. And so overall, he's 15% below average against left-handed pitching, whereas he's 6% above average against right-handed pitching. And Gerardo Parra is one last example. He is about league average against righties, but against lefties, he has been 40% below average in his career. And a lot of this has to be park adjusted because of the fact that he played his games in Coors Field for a long time. So that is why a number like weighted runs created plus is so valuable, because it is hurting, even though maybe some of the numbers like batting average, slugging percentage, even on base percentage would be a little bit inflated. You have to deflate it properly to account for the fact that he played a lot of games in Coors Field. So anyway, that's what the Dodgers are doing to great success. Now that Farhan Zaidi is running the San Francisco Giants, you can expect that he is going to employ the same strategy. So I would advise anybody who's against platooning to just get used to it and understand why it's absolutely critical to use in 2019, because your opponents are using it. So if you can have a guy like Posey and Belt, who are still really good against their same-handedness of pitching, they are worse against that side, but they're not below average, then fine. If you can have a whole team of those guys, but if you have guys who are producing below average against one side, you absolutely have to have a complement to that player. You have to have somebody who bats from the other side and does damage. Otherwise, you're going to be at a disadvantage offensively every single night against a team like the Dodgers. So that is all the time we have today. We will be with you again tomorrow talking about the upcoming series against the Rays, probably talking a little bit about the opener and how the Rays use it and the Giants should get ready for it, and how maybe with the Giants' strong bullpen, they might be the perfect team to try to be using and experimenting with the opener, which is something that Farhan Zaidi has said they might do this season. So That's something you're not going to want to miss. Remember, to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever it is you listen to shows. You can also get into your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Once again, my name is Ben Kasbick. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. I really hope you enjoyed the show. Please consider leaving a review. Can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you next time.